Text is going to be out of Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Pastor talked that he was going to be gone this weekend. He said, need somebody to preach, and nothing was said for a while. And then about 2 weeks ago, he caught me in the hall, and he says, you're preaching, right? And I went, yeah, okay. And God put this on my heart. And last Sunday, I worked second shift, and I got home, and I didn't sleep that whole night. And God just wrung me out like a horse rag, preparing my heart for this message. And what is great that I like when I get the chance to bring forth the word, whether it's here or somewhere else, is that usually when I prepare the message, God spends a great deal of that time convicting me. So I learn as much, if probably not more, than hopefully the Holy Spirit will bring forth to you. And I didn't realize the events that were going to happen this week. It's all going to tie together. So if you would, let's go to the Word and Matthew chapter 5, verses 13. And this is the Sermon on the Mount. And this is right after he gives the Beatitudes. And it's the topping in my Bible says disciples in the world. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in heaven, who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray to the Lord God that you'll bring forth from your word today what you want us to hear. Pray to the Lord God that you will allow me to be a vessel, that you will pour the Holy Spirit through me, and that you will bring forth what you want us to learn, dear Lord God. Allow us to open our hearts and minds and absorb what you want us to today, dear Lord God, and apply it to our lives. Just pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will be done there in honor and glory. We brought your name through it. May God bless us reading and reading of the word today. So we're not going to worry about verse 13 yet. We'll get back to that. We're going to focus on the light. What is the light? Well, we'll find out what the light is. Turn with me to John. John chapter 1, verse 4. I'm up here, so keep your Bibles handy. We'll be using them. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We're talking about Jesus here. The heading of the topping of the beginning of this chapter is the deity of Christ. In him was life, and the life was light, the light of men. If you would, turn with me to John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So the light is Jesus, right? So you go, okay, the light is Jesus. So how am I to let my light shine? Well, when I spoke to you over the 4th of July weekend, we talked about the Holy Spirit. When you are born again and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who gives you your spiritual gifts: helps, preaching, teaching, intercessory prayer, discernment, helps, hospitality, all that good stuff. Okay? That is equipping you for ministry. And we are to be imitators of Christ, right? We are to be like Jesus. So Jesus was the light of the world, therefore we are to be light of the world. Okay? And you go, okay, the light of the world. How are we going to be the light of the world? The light of the world is that we need to share our Jesus with other people. We need to be different in the world. I work at dark. So I have flashlights because everything I do is in the dark. And as you use them, they run out of power. If it's a bad accident, you go through one, two, three. I remember a young cop asking me, and it wasn't Stephen, but go, you got three big mag lights? You got two? It's like, yeah, I work in the dark. And they run out. And if they run out, you can't see. The world is dark. You cannot see without light. We need to be that light. And I don't mean that we all have to be preachers. We don't all have to be evangelists. But we have to be that light. And look around you in the world today. If you don't think the world needs light now, we need light. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So Jesus is going to leave the world. He knows we are. So here's some scripture. You know Daryl, he likes to prove everything with scripture. We're going to travel a little bit to why, what that we are the light in Jesus' absence. Proverbs chapter 4. Go back into the Old Testament a little bit here. Proverbs chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. So the path of the righteousness. We are the righteousness. Because the pastor just spent all that time in Romans proving that we are righteous through Jesus, right? Jesus lives in our heart. We are one with Jesus. Pastor just spent a whole series proving that. Something we can't do ourselves. You know, we all get hung up with things in our life that we've done that aren't perfect. Like Pete said, we should have said something when we shouldn't. Or we have this problem in our life that we had or we didn't have or that we should have did. And we get hung up on that. And I didn't quite get that. Till working on this, and Big Daddy Weave, his song Redeemed, I heard his testimony on how that song came about. He's in the garage pumping iron, and he's struggling with all these things. You know, I've done this in my life, Lord. You know, I've done these bad things, and I've done this. You know, how can I? And the problem is, those things were done away with when Jesus died on the cross. Jesus didn't say, pick up your cross and follow me, you will be sinless. That'd be great, wouldn't it? We'd never make a mistake again. He said, pick up your cross and follow me and you shall have everlasting life. We're not perfect. But that's the great thing. Because people see that we're different, that we are the light, but we are not perfect. Because people, I one time had a deputy go, Daryl, I'd love to come to church if I quit smoking. And I went, do you worship before you take a bath? No. Come to church, let God worry about the smoking. I'm going to tell you right now, people, there will be people in heaven that smoked. There will be people in heaven that drank beer. And that's hard for a Baptist to say. You could smoke or chew, but you couldn't drink beer. But it's a fact, okay? Anything you do to your body that hurts it is a sin, because this is God's temple. I remember a lady going on and on at a church function one time, not here, different church, my old church, going on and on about the way somebody was living while she was on her third plate at the carry-in. That's the same way people that drink you know, 20 gallons of Pepsi a day. That's bad. But you know what? Jesus took care of that. We're dying the minute we're born, the Bible tells us, right? But back to the imperfection makes it easier for people to go, I can do that. I can be a Christian. Let's go follow this up. Got to keep going on this word thing. Romans chapter 2. We were in Romans with the pastor. Romans chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. Romans chapter 2, 19 through 20. And are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and the truth. So right there it is. And are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. That's us. We're the guide. We're to be leading. Are we? Are we the born-again Christians this book says we are? Are we living our purpose statement? Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 47. For thus the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you should bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Wow. That you should bring salvation to the end of the earth. Strong statement, right? How are we going to get from one end of the earth to the other if we're all sitting here? If nobody's telling anybody about Jesus? If nobody's giving somebody a helping hand? Nobody's sending somebody a card of encouragement? Using those spiritual gifts that God gave us? Are we sat here in our country club type setting? We come once a week and have fellowship, and we do some things in the church, but what do we do out of the church? It's not about what's inside this church building, people. It's about what's out there. There are out there people out there dying daily. Look what's out. The wolf is at the door. The harvest is plentiful. We are the light. I just proved it to you in Scripture. Trust me, I know I'm sounding hard, but God was hard on me. And I do things, and I tell people about Jesus, and I do witnessing things, but I don't do enough. I'll tell you that right now. I don't do enough. And I know that I have to do more, because I know a church will only be as spiritual as its leaders, and I'm one of them. But that world needs Jesus. Every one of you can picture somebody in your mind, a family member, a loved one, get it there. Get that person in your mind that is not saved. Got it in your mind? Now think of that person separated from God in the worst torment you could ever imagine. Hurts right here, don't it? Because if you don't say nothing to that person, if you don't show that person the love of Christ, that's where they're going. How bad is it at judgment if I knew Jesus and Pete didn't, and we're standing there before the white great throne judgment, and Pete goes, Daryl, why didn't you say something? We were friends. We played golf together. We had cookouts together, and you didn't tell me about Jesus? Now I'm going to the lake of fire. You're going to paradise. Don't have to worry, Pete's saved. Guarantee you. But think about that. What if that happens? We're all going to that judgment. Will there be somebody there that we knew? Somebody we were friends with? Somebody that will go kicking and screaming the other way? How will we feel? It says, do not hide your light. We sung it as kids. Jesus demands results in that statement. He says, set it up high so that you can see the light, the world, from a hill, above plain. Get that hillbilly out of me. I'll talk right. Jesus demands results, and we're going to see some of these results. I'm going to move through some of these kind of fast, but we're going to look up scripture. And when I started studying this, and God laid this on my heart, this scripture really, really convicted me. And I hope it does the same to all of us. Because I hope we do a great job at Mount Tabor. We're producing fruit, but the word will speak for itself. Jesus demands results. Because it says, nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lamp stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. He's setting marching orders, people. He's not saying, well, you can kind of let it shine. But, you know. And we've been training for this since we were kids. We all sung the song, right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Matthew 3:8, just a little bit back from where we were at the text. Matthew 3:8. Therefore bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. Wow. Therefore bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. Therefore bring, not maybe. Therefore bring fruit in keeping with repentance. Matthew 5:16, I just read to you. Let's trot over here to Mark 4:20. This one really hit home for me. And it said, and those are the ones of whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. That's in red, people. I'm going to quote Willie Robinson. It's important. It's in red. 60-fold, 100-fold. Ouch. It was ouch for me. I'm one of your elders. I'm your council president. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I thought, Jesus, can you be a little bit more easier than that? It's not that easy. Set it right there. good soil. This is farming country. We all know what good soil is. And they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse 9. And it's in red again, people. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. If it bears fruit, fine. If not, cut it down. And we know what happens when you prune. You cut it off. Gets thrown in a pile. And then what do you do with the pile? You burn it. I want no part of the burning. I want no part of the pile. I want to be tendered, and I want to be loved, and I want to be nourished so I produce fruit. Don't we all? I do not want to be cut off. I do not want to be cut down. I don't want to be on that pile that gets burnt or chopped up, thrown around the shrubs. John chapter 8, or John chapter 15. This is, we're getting to the end of the Bible turning here. Give your fingers a workout. John chapter 15. And 8 says, "But this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so proved to be my disciples." Here's it. And it's in red again. It's important. "By this is my Father glorified." So we're glorifying God, "that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." So bearing fruit proves we are Jesus' disciples. A word I like to hear is, you're not a disciple unless you're discipling. How many can't wait till this fall when the pastor starts his discipleship class? That's going to be a part of that. That's going to be a great thing. It's going to be great to go through the Bible chronological. I love the Word of God. But you got to be producing fruit. And you got to be discipling to be a disciple. Guess what? There's a test at the end of that discipleship class. And that's making a disciple. But you know what? You already got it in you now. I proved that to you over the 4th of July when I got to preach. The Holy Spirit's there. The Holy Spirit gives you the boldness and the answers. And it all lies on the Spirit of God. Not you, the Spirit of God, which is in you. I had a conversation with a friend of mine, a Christian friend, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's always nice to be out in the middle of the night, find somebody that you know, and you get a chance to talk. And we were talking about the way the world was today, and we were talking about how we as Christians need to stand up for our Jesus, and we need to stand up and go, the line is here. This is the church. We are Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, and we're not bending anymore. I don't care what the world thinks acceptable. The book that I'm carrying and reading every day says no. And no means no. And I said, it's great that I have the same Holy Spirit that Peter, indwelled Peter, who cast out demons, who spoke in tongues and saved thousands and walked on water for a little while until he had doubt and then he sunk like a rock. He said, no, Daryl, what is great is when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, and that dove descended upon him, That same Spirit indwells us. The same Spirit that fell on Jesus Christ indwells us. How much more power do we need, people? When are we going to quit being afraid and hiding our light? When are we going to sit in this church and feel good about each other when this is not what God called us to be? And I'm just as guilty as everybody else. And sometimes it's just being you. Sometimes it's just living your life that you live for Jesus. That's enough for people to see. Because the world is watching us all the time. Don't think that they're not. They know. People can feel your spirit. I get it at work all the time. You're a born-again Christian, aren't you? Yes, I am. I can feel your spirit. They can feel Jesus, and they want some of it. And you know what? The only way that they're going to get some of it is if you share it. It was a wonderful gift that he gave us, but he didn't want us to hide it. He wants us to share it. He wants us to let our light shine from the highest mountain we can get it to. As bright as it gets. You don't have to turn with me, but Matthew chapter 28, which we know is the Great Commission. And I'll just read that to you. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." There it is, marching orders. Sharing Jesus. Preaching, baptizing. And I understand not all of you have the gift of preaching and teaching like I have. Not everybody has intercessory prayer. Not everybody has. But we all are the body and we all have spiritual gifts. And together we perform the functions. Whether we're building something or we're teaching a Sunday school class, it's all great. But we need to take it out. Inside my Bible, there are two things that are very dear to me. One, if I turn to this page, right there is my purpose statement. Every day when I open my Bible, and everybody, people who know me know that I'm at a Bible, and there goes all my trash. Our purpose is right there, to glorify God by sharing his love in our community through reaching out and building up. It's right there. And the second is the Romans Road. The Romans Road. Bible in my truck has a Romans Road. The Bible in my police car. Yes, there's one in my police car. Has a Roman Road. Hits Stephen in the head every once in a while, don't it, Stephen? When we go driving faster than we probably should be. Well, they want us to get there in a hurry, you know. He's choking her, and we got to get there and stop it. But they'll be in love Monday morning, but that's a different story. Okay. Don't be mad at me. Don't break the window out of my truck. This is what God convicted me in last Sunday all night long. He wrung me out like a horse rag. And I hope that this has impacted you as much as it did me. I have a statement that I like to share with you at the bottom. It says, "A candle lighting another candle loses nothing, but it adds more light in the world." And I left him down there, and I didn't talk to him, but Jim Gray, up here. Because he's a great bubbly guy, and he likes to let his light shine.
I'm shining.
See if I can do this without hurting myself. So So here's my light shining. And if I light his light, my light loses nothing, but we gain more light. Right? Let us pray. Thank you, my brother. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, dear Lord God, for this time that you allowed us to spend your word. We thank you and praise you for bringing forth what you need us to hear today, dear Lord God. We just pray that you continue to be with us and guide and direct us and allow us to be the disciples you called us to be. Allow us to let our light shine. Allow Mount Tabor, Church of God, to be the lighthouse in the community. And we just pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will be done there. In honor and glory, we brought your name through it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.